is looking at putting a SPOOE, redesigning that interchange where it's at, and then putting another structure right there by Home Depot, lining up by the liquor store that goes up the hill right there. Another structure across at 15 for alternative route for people to tie into and access Old 91. And the other one is we're looking to leave SR 130 Main Street right where it's at, but move the ramps about 3,000 or 4,000 feet to the south. So it essentially creates new ramps. So right now there's a lot of traffic going to Walmart from Cedar City on Main Street, and the ramps, just extra signals, is what causing all the issues. So if we move those signals and the ramps out of that situation, it will split the traffic and all handle a lot better. So we're looking at those two different options, say moving the ramps south a little bit, keeping Main Street right where it's at, or redesigning the interchange and putting another bridge to the south to try and give another option.
What about the flyover? I mean, that kind of personal passion on that for the agriculture
use. So that structure is kind of old and in service life, and widening F-15 is going to have to be removed because we are going to widen to three lanes there. I think in every option, there's going to be another structure there, and that's the conversation we need to have in design to say maybe the few times a year it's going to be used, that road that is open to vehicles, traffic will not have to be closed and used for agriculture, or one or the other, you know,
Main Street.
Or, yeah, either Main Street or that new one, depending on how it works out and what the ramps are. Ideally, we probably want to put the agricultural uses where the ramp, F-15 ramps are not.
Yeah.
So either way, there'll be an option where there's not ramps there that we can get agriculture across. It may be a difficult thing for traffic on most days, which it has been in the past, so it's nothing new. But I mean, that's, we're aware of that, and we'll address that as we get further into the design and bring in what agriculture community say, what's the best solution here based on the many different aspects we have to look at for a project that size.
We talked about jogging trail, biking trail too.
Yeah, so
that included.
Yes, that will be included. There's a couple of different options depending on which alternative is selected. And even with the one where Keith has to type, we can either kind of put the ramps and the crossings on the south side of the ramps of the interchange, or put a tunnel on the, and it kind of varies a little bit. The one on the south side connects in better to the existing trail networks. The one on the north side is a little bit shorter of a use, but it doesn't connect as well. So I think there's still some pros and cons to work out there. But any option will include active transportation connect points to make sure that there's separation between traffic to fulfill comfortable use and for pedestrians and cyclists. I think those are the main updates that I'm aware of. We have all of our applications for our TPA grants are in. They closed end of November timeframe. We've got all of the applications. It's going to be a couple months for gearing them and scoring them before anybody will know, but I believe.
Chris, will you tell them what TPA stands for?
Oh, technical planning assistance. So it's any planning grant or planning needs you have, any community can apply for a grant to help with that. So transportation master plans, general plan update, impact fees, anything that there's a need planning-wise, you can apply for that grant. It opens every year in October, but it will be another couple of months before we announce which ones are awarded. I think we've got more this time. There's like 69 applications for it this time around, so I'm not sure how many will end up being funded and what ones will be a couple of months before we have results on those. So.
That's pretty exciting. Sounds like is that it for updates?
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and number four. Budget and strategy updates. We need as a next board when update B, and they will talk about that and bring the transportation model. Dave.
Yep. I wasn't sure if you would be here, so I put both of us. Do you want to take that? Or would you like?
I'll just say, and then turn it over to you.
Okay.
Let me just say, for those that are not aware, we were awarded a total project cost of our application, $600,000. We appreciate Cedar City cooperating with us on that, and they had been awarded $69,000 or something like that. I can't remember. Yeah, and so we all went together, and all of the entities went in it together, and we're doing a major countywide study instead of Cedar City doing one and then the county doing a different one and Enid doing one. So this was an application for everybody, including Canaryville, Bryan Head, Paraguna, Parowan, the whole county, in evaluating safety issues and where they are. And we've already had a couple of engineering firms contact us. So our match came from the Corridor Preservation Fund. And so that was $125,000, and we had $475,000 that would be from them for a total of $600,000 project. Is that correct?
I think it was $480,120.
Yeah, but that's right, $480,120. So anyway, we'll have $600,000 worth of study, which will then allow each entity, once we identify all of the projects, then any entity could apply for funding to do the project in subsequent years. But the study now really makes it possible for everybody to look at all of the projects wide. And so it's really going to be good. And so our next step would be to hire a consulting firm that can do it. We have notified them. We've got to make a formal acceptance of the grant, but the forms weren't prepared just before Christmas. And so we'll be able to do that now. Anything else you want to add to that?
I don't have a lot to add. You basically covered everything I was planning on talking about. But it's a term planning project. It'll probably take a year or two to go through the entire process. So we'll try to keep you updated as we go. We're going to meet together and pitch to look at all the next steps and decide how to proceed forward. Luckily, Dixie NPO was awarded a grant, and we can look, because they're in the same office as me, technically part of my salary is paid by them, we can learn a lot from what they've been doing to help eliminate some of the headaches that come along with this process.
It is a federal grant, so there are headaches that come with it. So
yeah, transfer money from their account or
No, but thanks for alerting us that you're going to try.
So that's all. We'll just keep you updated as we move along with the process. I was just going to talk about the transportation model. Technically, it's called the travel. Yeah. The technical term for it. There's actually a modeling and maintaining the NPOs and other planning organizations like ours for transportation planning. Their work usually includes things like developing future population, household, employment, distribution areas in coordination with local and regional governments, forecasting travel patterns, vehicle volumes, and vehicle miles traveled, forecasting travel demand on highway networks as a means of assessing existing performance and evaluating the effectiveness of future planned investments. Currently, in Utah, there's five or six models. The models are done locally at the NPOs. So all the NPOs across the state, they have their own model, and Iron County has their own model. And all of the other parts of the state, the models run by the UDOT. Technically, we have an agreement we made in 2020 with UDOT to work with UDOT closely on our travel demand model to really increase the resources we have and the knowledge we have in transportation planning and decision making.
This model is really kind of in a transition, because usually the NPOs manage their own model, and they're a bigger population and need much more detail than the statewide model has. But now Higher County is getting to the point where it needs more detail than the statewide model, but it's still under UDOT's rural area. It's not technically NPO. So it's this transition period of when Iron County, which will shortly become an NPO by the next census, and will have to manage their own model as an NPO. But right now it's kind of that transition. So it's kind of the process through these next couple of years is making sure that Iron County takes over that portion of the model and learns how to manage it itself rather than having UDOT do a really high-level model that just isn't adequate for the area anymore. So there's a lot more nuances and stuff that the statewide model doesn't take into account that needs to be in these areas that are having this population growth like Iron County does. So, so it's that transition, and that's why we're working so closely with the RPO to say we need to start shifting this responsibility to the RPO, future MPO, to manage the model than rather than having you talk to it. Yeah, we don't get off into the other streets. We only look at the state highways and interstates.
So the extent that our city roads interact with state highways, that information.
Yeah, that's actually a perfect transition into what I was going to my next talking point. We've been, as part of this process, we have to evaluate the traffic volume tool, where we look at average daily traffic counts. And I've been working with the UDOT and also been meeting with the local entities. So, like, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, I met with Jonathan, and we went over all of the networks that have a large effect on the UDOT roads to see if those counts were somewhat accurate or if there was any anomalies. We were looking at those types of things to try to figure out whether we need to make some adjustments. And there was a few adjustments we did make to hope to give the model a better feed of data.
Is the Iron County model that we currently have, I think they created it in 2020, and we're trying to update it and just double-check right now. And that's what it is we have a lot of those city streets, those bigger roads, estimated, but we don't have really good numbers, so we're not sure how accurate the model is. So we need to get with all the municipalities and say, if you have any data, because the state doesn't do any counts on the city roads, but if the cities or counties have any traffic counts that we can use to verify that our model is showing correctly, is what we're trying to do now. And also help, because we generally only do traffic counts on the state highways every 2 years, and with how fast Cedar and the growth is and Cedar's going right now, sometimes that's not really accurate. It makes us wonder, you know, are we really getting the right information to make sure we're planning correctly for the future? So that's what this model is, and updating it. It's just trying to get a good gut check saying, how accurate is our model? Do we need to adjust to make sure we're getting the right information in, so we're getting the need for the projects in the correct year?
And the communities I still need to work with that have a lot of these roads, the traffic counts that we need to review. I still haven't met with Enoch or the county. Paraguna and Canaraville only have one road going through that, so we're going to get with the county to look at
those. So it's in Paraguna.
Oh, did you do Paraguna? Okay.
The land traffic count is less than one volt. Currently, there are counters here on 91 here in Canaraville, and we'll have those numbers within the next short while. And I understand that they have up in Paraguna had some traffic count numbers from their strength. So what Jonathan and I were talking about was actually getting a couple of those other roads and whatever Rob wants. It's a matter of having the equipment, but we would like to confirm a couple of those numbers. And those were two counts we get immediately was Paragon's version in our number. So we actually have the numbers. It's interesting. There's just a rough remembrance. There's about 197 cars coming to Paragon from the north, and over 500 leave every day. That's a nice surprise. We always stop into town past 2.5 times more traffic than
which is a really big surprise, but now we have a better picture. It's not going to adjust you up very much because those are pretty low counts. But now we know what they are.
Okay. Oh, and I need to be with all the before Brian has counts. I think the only one about the economy is the highlight. I'll just reach out to all the
Would you like to know the speed? Because our count does tell what speeds are coming.
I see going through there at dusk or dawn. Where the steer are moving. People are going to be really, really wants to be. I think it's people that are not used to this.
Our encounter will tell us where those spikes are.
Didn't you do one on Richard? Didn't you do one on Line Highway too?
We have. We have those counts.
Yeah.
But they're several months old. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I just wanted to inform you all that we're in that process of updating, and that's where we're at.
We're talking about traffic. Just an observation. I just got back from New Zealand and Australia. They have roundabouts everywhere down there. I mean, it's interesting, and I kind of grew to love them. Just got it when you're down there, you enter the roundabout on the left, not the right. I learned that once. Just for this. I mean, as a ladies in my family won't never let me live it down. But it's interesting down there. They have roundabouts in every little subdivision. Everything's roundabouts. It's just fascinating.
Well, and some of the bridges you have to waste.
Yeah, they're small bridges.
Yeah, let's go though, and the other ones come somewhere.
They were good.
Well, we are appreciative. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say the interchanges too. At the St. George's we have here, this, I think it's very efficient, better than an intersection.
Hasn't Miami been a highway for them to be re-conditioned and say
yes? Yeah, I think Rob was still doing one patch there. That was
it was there. Before it was done.
There's I don't think there's been a.
That was during construction.
It was being built.
Where there hasn't been two cars colliding together.
That's at all.
There's been some people hitting signs.
On purpose?
No.
Oh. It's good.
It just won't be fast.
It's going to fast. And don't know how they can miss the sign right in front of them. But it might be a little
bit. It is
a big ramp. But it was several, like, 4 years previous, before that roundabout was in there, there was a multiple injuries and fatalities. So it's been a huge benefit there for safety.
That's proven. A lot of pushback at first, that's typical. If you need to type in the Google, like roundabouts, and you'll find all these different roundabouts, and the public hates them until they're put in, and then the public just shuts up. But it's typically in places where roundabouts are not all the things we do. There's some cities in Colorado, that's all they have roundabouts, too. It's like the at first, it was hard for people to become accustomed to them, and I had one person complain.
I couldn't solve them. I know they weren't really efficient.
They're efficient and safe. That's why we like them. They check all the boxes that we like to see.
On the grant applications, they extended the date out for the planning grants. I did apply for the combined county Cedar City feasibility study on that underpass potential right there. So that's been submitted on time. And then I got notification that, oh, we're going to extend it out.
Oh, pull your hair out.
So,
he's the one that extended the different. Yeah, he's the planning assistant closed.
Oh.
And we have an application that extended was the TAP. It's for pedestrian, like, safe sidewalk.
Was that what that was? Because I got a notice that extended like 14.
I don't think it's closed and they're looking at applications now. So I think the only one was extended was for applications for funding for sidewalks or.
Awesome. There was another, the state Safe Routes to School grant that we all hear about every once in a while. I had a meeting with Jerry Beard up in Richfield about something else. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned that to him about between Enix City and Three Peaks Elementary. Three Peaks is a bus school. There's no walking. And it's mostly because there's no place for kids to walk on Martinsville Highway or any of those areas. And the west side of Enix City is growing because that's where they go to school. But it's growing so much. In fact, there's more development coming in now on that west side. But nobody can actually get to the school because there's no sidewalk. So I said, hey, is that another project that might be good for the Safe Routes to School? And they said, yeah, it'd be a perfect project. But it's all in the county.
Oh, the county would have to apply.
So I can push you guys to apply.
So the transportation alternative fund, we get so much federal funds and we can allocate that. And that one currently got extended a little bit, but I think you should be able to apply for that one.
It is a project in the county.
Yeah. That was a little bit more flexible. And yeah.
If that's what the county, you don't want to jump on the county's toes and put a sidewalk down in the Valley Road.
Well, we don't really do the sidewalk. Who do you do?
Just say that.
It would be helpful. Yeah. I think it may reduce this. It's absolutely bus. It's a little bit because it's just this north and west part of Enid that actually has students to go to that school. South part of it doesn't. So,
I think Enid could be able to put an application back in Boston, Falcons.
It's for our residents.
It's a good letter of support.
So, any other questions? So, we'll move to nurses. Next meeting is going to be March 6th. We have determined that it's going to be Cedar Cities. So, this will be the one that's going to be scheduled for Cedar City. March 6th. Number 7 is reaching the with me. And since you're in the meeting, We asked the agenda for today.
So, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next, I'd like to move to approve the minutes from the November 15th, 2023 meeting.
Those minutes have not been sent out. Just bypass that for now.
Yes. So, let's make a motion to the table. We'll approve those in the next meeting.
Do we need a second?
I think we do need a motion to the table. Yeah, that's my understanding.
That's what you just said, right? That's what Lisa said.
So, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, at this time, we'll have the mayors, commissioners, please. Oh, I guess I didn't start. We don't have much happening up here. Actually, we do. We always have stuff happening. But this time, we're working on the new building on Town Hall. We've started with painting and sprucing up the living. We have great aspirations to leave the place out much better and to leave things. Just make it look a little nicer for those who spend hours on hours.
If you wait 10 years, it'll be back in style.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, we can do, you know, we can support you. Mm-hmm. Love it. We also are working through some water meter issues at this time. We used our ARPA money and the donation from the county to get some new water meters, radio ready meters. And then we got notice that SetFlow, the company we work with, went this going bankrupt.
Yes.
And so we are working. We just filed with bankruptcy to see if we can get some money back on that. And we're trying to find a new company that will pick up our transmitters and guarantee them and work with us on that. So basically, we're starting from not scratch, but halfway through. So that's been a problem and it's going to be a problem. We're working with Peter some funding to get that fixed, but if we're working with us, that didn't turn out
really well. It's slow. It's a slow process. But we are getting numbers from our community, so it's okay. So far, no complaints. That's looking at that. Thanks.
Hello.
Commissioner? Oh,
I don't have much. I've been gone for 3 weeks, but I would like to talk about the jail a little bit. Our bond failed. We worried about that. We, jail bonds historically don't pass, and we started out with the Truth in Taxation, and that wasn't very popular, and there were some mistakes made on the county's part that weren't filed correctly, so we pulled that and went to a GEO bond, and that failed pretty miserably. I had heard some chat. I know that Rex, there was a lot of companies we had, there was people that wanted to do more of a consumption-type revenues, like a sales tax. And Rex, the representative has talked about introducing legislation that would allow a third class through sixth class county to raise.
He said one.
He's going to come back. I think so. It's anyway, a moving target, but to raise, and there's a lot of people that would favor that over property tax because
it's a more fair tax.
Yeah, the guy that drives from Vegas to South Home people buy two before to work on his cap, he's got to pay for a jail. But so that's going to be a debate this year. It could be interesting. I don't know how that would be received.
And so we can get it through the legislation.
That's a bill that Rex will run. And so I still hear talk. Even from some of our leaders in the county and state about remodeling a jail. I just want to, for the record, I will not vote for remodeling a jail. I was a remodel guy in the beginning, but I am not. As after researching it, our architect worked for a week on a feasibility study on remodeling that. And it would cost as every bit as much of New York to remodel a jail. And I don't want to be involved in the meeting where you have to talk to the residents in that area where you build a 50-foot high pod and the inmates are looking in their backyards watching their kids play. I don't want to be in that. And I'll just give a quick example. Our maintenance superintendent, Mike Gibbs, this is just an example. Jails are probably the most complicated buildings to build, even more so than hospitals. They're just extremely technical. And when that jail was built, I actually installed the cabinets in that jail. That was the month before I started my own business, 38 years ago.
And when they build a building, they have the plans, and then they do mass builds. They say, well, this power port is going in this location. But the as-builds are never always that. They're not always accurate. And so just to give an example on cost on remodeling a jail, Mike gave us an example. Years ago, he wanted to add a shower or two in an area. He put it out for bid. He thought it cost $25,000, $30,000. He couldn't get a single contractor to bid on it. And this wasn't a time when they were super busy either. And he finally found a contractor and said, look, you know, we can do this for $80,000. And the guy said, yeah, I'll do it. And so he started. When the contractor's cost got to $120,000 halfway through the project, he begged for mercy to let him know the contract. And then he nearly hit a high voltage cable that wasn't supposed to be. The as-builds were wrong. It was just a nightmare because there's so much. They cut through a lot of conduits, cutting concrete. It was just a nightmare. And that's just one small example of what you have when you try to remodel a building like that.
There isn't enough room for expansion either. There would only be able to be one pod, and it'd probably be smaller than what we could buy, you know, built at the other location. So it just is.
So if you hear chatter like that, I mean, refer them to us. We can talk to them. But we kind of go down that road, and we have that meeting recorded where the architect went through the presentation of his feasibility study. It was thorough. It was well done. And so here's some of the highlights of that presentation. The minute you turn a shovel of dirt, everything has to be brought up to code, all the ADA bathrooms. So if you, just an example, they changed the radius in an ADA bathroom from 60 inches to 66 inches, I think. And so every bathroom in that building, the minute they turn a shovel of dirt, is non-compliant. And that's very expensive to retrofit. All of the exterior walls would have to be brought up to current energy code, which would mean they would have to clad the exterior of the building with a new type of insulation and then a new exterior service. You'd have to bring all the windows up to code. You'd have to bring if anybody seen the movie The Money Pit?
Yeah.
That's what would happen. So, land purchase. We got a set of plans drawn. It's a two-pod facility. That's what we voted for. We have the architect suggested that we maybe go to a one-and-a-half pod, and he drew that, which may be a nice compromise. I've always thought two pods. We could grow into it even if we mothballed the second pod and didn't use it for 5 or 10 years. So I think it's going to be cheaper to build it now than later. But this one-and-a-half pod intrigues me a little bit. After seeing the design, that might be an option to save money and maybe get the public to buy into this. I don't know. So we'll continue to, you know, try to educate. The problem's not going away. We need a new jail, and so we'll continue to work on it.
And we're letting people out because we're full. So just so people know, it's not safe for a community to do that. And I wonder if the road, it's going to get worse in length. I mean, it's a real problem.
Jay, I'm not an expert in law enforcement, but listening to our sheriff, you know, talking about JRI, Justice Reform, what is it, Justice Reform Initiative or whatever by Herbert, the law enforcement people you talk to say it's been a failure. And so the pendulum is people are tired of putting up with crime. The pendulum swung way one way and it's coming back the other way. So they claim that there's going to be a lot more demand moving forward because the public are going to demand that we be a little harsher on us.
The state prison was built smaller than the point of the mountain, so they are saying that we're going to have to farm them out to the counties.
Well, they're having a hard time staffing that. I think they're only like maybe 60% of them.
Nobody wants to go clear out by the airport to work. They'd rather go to Gunnison. They'd drive to Gunnison rather than go through all that traffic and go out by the airport.
So that's just an update on that. So whether we look at truth of taxation again, I don't know, in our last meeting,
the sheriff kind of wanted to go down this new path of a consumption tax and see where that goes maybe first is kind of what he was
making. There's no mechanism to fund a jail. And we're not the only one that's in this position. JUAP is probably worse than we are, actually. Theirs is falling to pieces. Their jail was built halfway through what the contractor left. And then they had to hire somebody to come in midstream, and it is literally falling down. It is literally falling to pieces. Not because it's old, because it's worse than ours. But it was the way that it was built. Them trying to cut costs, that's another thing, a little bit at a time, and now to take their meals. The buildings, because they can hook them together. They have to put them in a golf cart to take them over to the other buildings. I mean, it just isn't very efficient. That's exactly.
They bought that facility like 14 years ago, and they've added, I think they've been adding on every single year. And so there's no master, plan, and it's just in a hodgepodge. It's a challenge. And that's what we don't want. We want something that's planned, that works. And yes, it's bigger than we need now. We go into it. Yes, it costs money. People, are posting, are voting for the bond to pay for it. We don't want it. And we'll continue to push forward. Let the vote decide.
Just that our road guys are working on 7700. We wanted to chip seal this last summer, and because of the harsh winter being the year before, we just couldn't get to it. But yeah, the 7700, we will chip seal that hopefully in June. And hopefully we can get to some of the other ones that we fell behind with that harsh winter. And the couple of years before the flooding, put us behind too. So we're all staffed back up, and hopefully we can get on top of it as it flow.
So, you had a bit of, did you buy water rights somehow, fighting a lot of people want to sell some water rights?
Keep on
buying water rights.
You keep finding them.
You keep finding people who want to sell water rights with good faith, so we keep buying
them. Nice. Nice.
We had a water line from one of our springs up the canyon on by the slide area that the slide took out last time we slid, a year ago or so. We had a helicopter come down from Provo to pick up the new water line. Put them back up the canyon for us. That's pretty neat.
Was it HDP? They just lived there, throwing it up there.
Yeah, they had it all hooked up. And this guy, the skinniest little helicopter I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. He flew up and hooked on, flew it up the canyon for us.
Wow.
Just
HDP.
Mother Nature buried it for us.
Oh, yeah.
So we kind of positioned it so it was like,
but for a long time, it's pretty nice. It's pretty big. What's this? It's worse.
Well, it's big.
Is it 8?
It's
12 inch. Oh, wow, it's big.
Nice. It's an 8 inch.
It's every March last 4 inch, right? I thought it was
probably 13 moving on that.
Oh, yeah.
Staffing on. Sworn and police officers. And the local private council this year. So, ready for it in here.
Yes, Phoenix City is also expanding. The city council tentatively approved a 600-acre annexation that potentially will double Phoenix City's residential. Phoenix, how long that takes. The Penny Farm, which I think by Gateway Elementary, is on contract with the developer for 614 units. That's pretty substantial for us because we're getting you know, subdivisions of 20 to 60, you know, like 4 or 5 came in last year, and the house went up like 50, so what a wine. And tomorrow night is a remembrance of the Haight family at the McCallum Treatment. The friends and neighbors of the Haight family for the 9th anniversary of that tragedy in our community. So that's tomorrow night at the McCallum Treatment. On February the 27th, and they want to put this in your calendar, you're all invited to a new, if any of you have been involved with FEMA, and with TEEX, T-E-E-X, which is Texas A&M's extension service. They go around the country. They contract with FEMA to do trainings. There's a new one that's been developing. It's called the Whole Community Emergency Management Planning. And Phoenix City's sponsored pilot they'll be doing, and they felt that our community, because of the disasters we've had in the past with other same thing, that they felt we would be best to help them also develop this program to across the nation.
They did one in Cedar 4 years ago, I think. It was pretty good.
Yeah,
it's excellent at the University of Texas.
They did one last year too. They came to SUU and SUU sponsored it. This is for emergency management personnel, government administrative representatives, advocacy groups, organizations, citizen community volunteers, NGOs, anybody who is involved in community. They have 30 participant size. You have to register for it. I will send out the link. The topics are defining the whole community, building cultural competency, identifying and integrating stakeholders, resource mapping, guiding documents and associated laws, individual family and community preparedness, the community risk assessment, and inclusive planning. You'll have to get a FEMA student ID number. I'll send all the registration for you. I think our emergency manager in the county is registered, I'm registered, and others will register. So you'll get that probably sometime today. If you want to think about who the best fit. Having people who are both engaged in government and non-government organizations that are connected to the emergency management plan. So the hospital and others.
What day is that?
It's all day on the 27th of February. It's actually 6 hours is what they figure.
And I just sent you
know when it starts.
I just sent the commissioners the
okay.
The three commissioners.
We usually start about 9. Yeah, once.
We've already got we've got emergency managers from Uinta County already wanting to come down and asking if they can do it, and honestly, other emergency managers and response people in this region will probably be there. So. Be nice to have a lot of participation.
Anyway,
but it's limited to 30 participants.
Limited to 30 participants.
And just to give you a little background, we've had really good a good track record with Texas A&M with their service. I held an exercise a couple of years ago with them and. We had the one over at SUU, this one, and they have consistently said that for small rural communities, we draw more people into it than they had to cancel cities like Boston because they couldn't get enough people to come to it. And yet, I'm counting in this region soon to be able to draw more people. So they're impressed with us. Let's not let them down.
Ice Rink House Meeting is, I think it's Michelle Woods done and they're starting to work inside. It's a pretty good sized building. You may want to go check it out. Down County Children's Justice Center is being framed, I think. Starting framing pretty quick here. And Mark Kiner's
rescue is up and should have a CO this month. It's a giant bird cage.
It is. Cool. Well, I haven't been in it.
Eyes and bars.
I talked to him the other day, and he's got a lot of support worldwide.
Oh,
it's it's kind of like the orange man, the friend, best friend.
Best friend.
He has a really big following all over the world, so he's got
these videos all the time, and they just love him. Baby birds.
Oh, and he's getting to the end of his career because he's been doing it for 45 years. So he's got
to set up now. Able to sell that property. They want to do it so that they can take that money and put it, bank it so that it can go on and on.
They want to build an auditorium, a nice auditorium to educate students and stuff out there. There's a whole bunch of things. It's still with his dream coming true. Part of his dream.
Well, one other thing I could mention that's out there, and I hope this is so I talked about this in one of our meetings. I've been working with Southern Utah Veterans Association, Chuck Lavelle. He's been trying to build a large building and a replica of the Vietnam Memorial that's in DC, the full size. And they were hoping to partner with the Veterans Administration before they built that Veterans Administration or the cemetery, but they've already started that. So they're actually in negotiations with Spencer on a piece of property out of the freeway to do that. And he's got money's gonna put into it. They're gonna raise money, and they want to build a big PTSD medical facility for vets that are struggling with that. And then I don't know if any of you've seen that statue that Jacob P. built.
It's amazing.
It's pretty cool. And he got thousands of dollars into that sculpture. But that's happening. That's exciting. That'll be right out there by the astronaut.
Yeah,
that's good.
That is cool.
There's a lot of things coming. It's interesting what's happening in our communities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like people are leaving other places and coming here. And people tell me, you got to quit this growth. And I say, well, you quit being nice.
And that's it.
Who would
want to live here?
Too nice for you. Walking on. Yeah, that's all I have for you, Nick, right now.
So the big news of Brian Head is that we approved the annexation agreement with Aspen Meadows, which means we're going to start the annexation process now. We've already met with Reed and we're going to work through that. It took most of a year and a half to work through that, so that was fun. When it's all said and done, it's kind of like what you might expect it would have been from the beginning. It's taken a lot of detours to get there. But what I'm hearing from Aspen Meadows is that they're going to put in 3 new lifts this next summer. So things are supposedly underway. I'm not in order to count the chickens, but leave it when I hear that all soccer field and all this stuff. But
is that the kind of situation where that could actually have the reason a home resort if you add
it's the same resort.
Same
the resort owns it. They're developed.
Oh, the same company.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a good sale.
It's a different company that's doing the development, but they have no interest in operating ski resort also.
So we're running the integration. So it's the same bunch of
them. So Brian Head Resort's going to operate.
That could really help them be on the map more, right? With another.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Especially once they get it all connected in. Right now, they're just going to kind of build kind of a set of ski area in Aspen Meadows.
It's a beautiful area. I was up there measuring the jaw plane. So the other area is really pretty different.
Well, it's
It's about 1,700 acres. Is that what the plan land is?
Yeah, 1,600 acres is what's going to be
annexed. Yeah.
They own like 1,900 acres, and some of it they own in town. And so the phasing of that is going to look, I'm told, is going to look something like they're building a neighborhood that you would actually access through steam engine, the steam engine neighborhood, if you're familiar.
Yeah.
And then they're going to kind of come down the hill with their development. Starting with a, what kind of an upper village, which is going to have some multifamily, some commercial, and then single family neighborhoods around it. Up in the long middle area, I probably don't know that, but that, where that is, but anyway, just off the top. And then a lower village down, then they'll come down with mostly single family residential, and then a lower village down the bottom that's going to have like an art village, and it's going to have a little bit more commercial, a little bit more and a future workforce facility would be. And so in the meantime, they'll be kind of using the main road that goes into that area, affectionately called Birds Road to Nowhere. And they're going to keep that name by. It's going to be called Aspen Mills Drive, and then like in parentheses, it's going to be Birds Road to Nowhere. Anyway, they're going to build that as like a temporary road during like the first 3 to 5 years while construction's heavy, because they don't want to build a brand new road, just have a great shreds by all the construction equipment. So they're going to do like a temporary road and then come back, circle back, and put in a permanent road. And that'll be the main, public access. From that road, most of the neighborhoods are going to be gated neighborhoods. And by most, I mean all of the neighborhoods are going to be gated neighborhoods coming off of that road. But any commercial stuff, obviously, will be accessible to everybody. So there's a big list. I don't remember if that includes the gondola that's supposed to go back and forth. Because ultimately, what they want to do is tie it in with everything. So there'll be a couple of lifts that you would ride to tie into the top of Chair 5 or 2. You know, that area comes from the top of the joint steps, the area, and then a gondola that runs from the bottom of the lower village over to the Navajo area. So the whole thing, you just get on and you just park in one place and go to the whole thing. So, the good news, the really good news that I think comes out of this with Brian Head is, I mean, a lot of people, we haven't had a lot of like pushback on it. Some people are like, let's bring more people, blah, 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 blah. But it really is kind of separated from the rest of Brinehead. But one of the really good aspects that I think comes out of it is that Brinehead wasn't a particularly well-planned town. And one of the issues with it is like they just didn't think ahead about like, well, where are we going to park cars? I just saw a picture actually today of the first trailers that they dropped to the first buildings they had in Brinehead were like these temporary, home trailers, but I don't know. Yeah, that sort of thing, that they had there. And they were essentially like warming huts, you know, like in the '60s. And right next to it, there's one car and 5 horses. And I was saying, and I don't know, I'm pretty sure people were riding horses around, but I was like, looking at that picture, thinking, well, I can see why they don't really plan for a lot of cars, you know? Like, they didn't really think through the parking situation. And there's just not a lot of publicly owned land that we can use to resolve those issues. And with the annexation agreement, the town will be getting something like 20 acres of land in strategic spots, and they're helping us like there's not really anywhere in the town to have light industrial development, right? That's not like right in the middle of everybody. And so there's areas out there where we can do some like industrial development that's out of the way. It just gives us an opportunity to kind of go back and right a lot of the wrongs that have just kind of evolved in the Brinehead over the years. And so Of course, it'll take 30 years to do that. I don't know how many of us will be around. The rest of us will be.
Rob's feeling offended.
I mean, George volunteers, he will not.
George, being the oldest person in this room, I'll still be.
Okay. So, what kind of permanent residencies will they see? What do you see for population growth?
Well, so,
from 110 to what?
Yeah. I'm not sure that we foresee. So the general numbers for senior resort town is something like 2/3 secondary and then 1/3 primary. At least mountain town stuff study is it might be like more like 3/4 to and a quarter. Primary head is something like 98%, 10%, you know, it's just a tough place to live. And there are some dynamics that are changing that might result in a higher percentage of permanent residents someday. But I told them in their modeling that I wouldn't go, like, we made a financial model and some stuff like that, and I told them I wouldn't go past 10% for permanent residents. But so they're adding 1,400 units. If you take 10% of those and you assume 2.5 people
are they going to provide
still won't talk about hundreds of people.
Are they going to do any staff residences?
Yes, we have a whole affordable housing thing built into it. They gave more land. So initially we were like, look, we want to see 5% of the units be affordable. They said, yeah, we don't really want to build 5% of the units as affordable as well, but we'll tell you what, we'll give you more land, and you have like you could build. And that's an example of kind of writing some poems with the fact that there wasn't much publicly owned land. We have in our code now, we have affordable housing. They're not requirements because I'm not allowed to require them. But we have an incentive, let's say, for affordable housing in there. Essentially, if you don't want to bring your own water rights to your development, then you got to build affordable housing. And it's a strong incentive. But we allow a fee in lieu that people can just pay to buy their way out of that requirement. But in the town council, it's like, well, you want to put a fee in lieu on there, but when I get these fees, where am I going to build this housing? You know, I don't have any land to build this housing on. So this will provide us with a bunch of land where we could do affordable housing development and put staff.
It just puts a lot of money on the road to get your staff out there. That's what happens in grantor fees. All their staff was in bricks. They have to drive up to Target. There's nothing else to staff.
Yeah.
So really, burden to the road. If you are in numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got a meeting next week with the ski resort to start talking about doing a pilot program for running a shuttle up the canyon, because that's the next thing, right? Like you talk about all this growth on the mountain, then you look at that road in the canyon, and you got this tremendous job holding that road together. Right, they're doing right now, but that's where it's like all we do to keep pavement there. And now we're talking about like doubling, tripling the usage of the road, and it's just a rotten thing to be able to beat up. But transit's going to have to be part of the solution there. So there's
some stuff. They had gotten with the truck and moved on.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
Have you had any sense of plans? I'm curious about the works on the road.
We had some great. We had some great meetings with Leif, right? I'm heading that up. We had some great meetings with Leif and with the contractors to talk about how we would manage that through the holidays. And frankly, I think they did a terrific job.
Well, and that's what I was telling him earlier, that the firm, the PR firm that they hired to deal with us, Dan and I met with them, and Royce Park, we met with them to discuss, you know, response of the canyon as well. So, yeah, they're being pretty proactive with that.
They probably don't know that it wasn't dumping snow on the project area while the traffic was going through the...
My first question to him right out of the gate was, what in the world was the Army Corps of Engineers thinking about doing boat work at this time of year in that place? And he said that the Corps wouldn't allow their guys to work during one of those seasons.
Well, and if you see what they're doing right now, it actually means some work. I mean, they're just down in the creek right now. So, see what they're able to say out of that close seats.
Very good. It's exciting.
Very interesting. I'm so sorry.
That's our time.
Yeah.
It's great.
So, any other area representatives?
Todd? He's on, but he's not on.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Do you have updates from Parawan or Paraguna?
I'm having a hard time hearing all of what's being said, so. But.
We're just doing the updates.
Yeah, so Paraguna, we haven't got much going on. We are still working on our water. The engineers are been surveying the whole town. Everybody is wondering what's going on, but yeah, they've been locating all of our existing stuff and getting ready to put plans together for our water system upgrade. And, that's about it. We don't have much going on, and we kind of like it that way, but. So, that's where we're at still.
Okay, thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Molly gave an update this morning on Carolyn. So, the highlights there were they got a grant for like $1 million to do a pipeline that they're pretty excited about. And, that's the recharge.
That's the recharge to the
city. Yeah, that's the recharge to that, which that's pretty cool.
Amazing.
And then they're working on some recreation features over by the Valentine Recreation Complex.
Pickleball.
Thank you. And I believe a little track or something.
Yes. Yes. Right across from the song.
Yeah. Yes.
Bike.
Right now, I'll go to Parawan after like 10 p.m. Main Street is apparently closed to cars, and it's just bikes. But yeah, well, there's just no car driving on Main Street after 10 p.m. for Parawan, so the kids on the bikes might take over the whole road. It's kind of funny to talk to them. And so they're looking for a spot to put those kids, and apparently it's going to be right over there. Gosh, it seemed like there was something else that was going in there too, but anyway, that's coming along. I guess all the funding board is moving forward. But,
I may be wrong, but with the pickleball courts, they wanted an activity center.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a phase in pickleball activity center.
So anyway, there's tons of other stuff going on there. That's just where I remember from our update this morning.
There's nothing wrong with the recreation bike. They're going to have a motel soon. The motel is...
Oh, yeah. That's going fast.
Yeah.
On the exit. Across from
yeah. And there's a project starting next to it, which I don't know if that's the Ace hardware that I've been through.
The Ace.
Yeah.
They haven't come clear to see there to get a nut and bolt.
Yes.
So that's gonna be a good one.
Oh, that's the worst. It's so stressful. checking out at the Home Depot when you're in a bear one. Because if you forget something, because otherwise you're screwed, you're going to come over there.
Well, I'm going to do the business.
That would be good. Okay, so thank you for those updates. By legislative updates.
That our legislators obviously couldn't make it today. They're starting their meetings in Salt Lake, so they emailed me and told me they wouldn't be here. But I did on the agenda post the link that Utah League of Cities and Towns has to bill tracking that they do. As of 1 o'clock today, there were 5 bills that were posted on that, all of which pertain to cities. So. And they're the only bill files that have been actually posted at the legislature. So they're expecting to have hundreds and hundreds more. So if you want to follow the tracking of those bills, it'll be interesting to see what happens with affordable housing and water and all those.
They're pushing all those things.
They're pushing all the buttons.
Yes.
I was on a state conference call earlier this morning, and they said, well, it's going to be a light legislative season. I wonder what they define as the other road.
I don't think there's such a thing.
A year it gets more and more, it seems like.
One of the challenges, we have this meeting every 2 months. So the legislature, by coming up the next meeting, they'll be
near the Oberville meeting.
March, it'll be pretty much done.
So, Rob, 5 County AOG does a monthly mayor's meeting. Encourage your mayors to join on to that. We often have conversations where we can talk about these things. And the
league also has their legislative committee, which... And I know that
U.S.
has what you need every month, every week,
every
legislative session.
And vote on the bills.
Not necessarily on the bills, but on the...
whether you support it or not, support it.
Your body has to do it.
Yeah.
And I think those potentially can be good to be involved in with elected officials.
Well, again... Appreciate that. We move to 6, open discussion. Anybody have anything you want to put in the table and discuss? I guess it was.
Brand? I'm discussing Brand. Brand?
Yeah.
I guess Brand. As some of you, and I was telling the commissioners earlier, some of you may have been listening to the news and heard that Tarrant County was one of those counties selected to be reimbursed by FEMA for the 2023, the runoff, not the regular monsoon season, but the runoff floods. So there were 11 counties in the state that applied to that. Only 5 were selected. Ireland was one of them. Even Grand County, with all the damage done to Moab, was denied by FEMA. So we were fortunate. Now I'm just waiting. I was on an earlier call, waiting to see the next round to start when they sent me more paperwork, and then be sitting down and putting all the specifics together to go back to FEMA and hopefully we, as a county, just short of, I think, about $500,000 in reimbursement. So whatever we get will certainly help the county budget. So
no way the news reported continues to it sounded like it was going to be private. It's all infrastructure. Yep. And we applied for some ones we had to do some major repairs on in Modena of all places. We lost
Pamela Valley.
Pamela Valley in the Gold Springs area.
Gold Springs.
And spent well over $300,000 on Pine and Apple and others. Two roads with a population of six. No, I'm teasing them out anymore. But it sounded to the public, and that's what I got noticed. Oh, who's getting money and I'm not? And it's not all that much for me. So if you get asked, if they, it is news to not make a break.
But, however, the Small Business Administration still is open for and for private. And so if a private individual suffered anything to their private property and they want to reach out to SBA and see, you know, what's available, they can still do that. But none of this state or federal money is going to go to the property.
There's another, during the legislature last year, there was some money for the roads, and I think it's supposed to be allocated. Has anybody seen that money yet? I should have called Lucas to find out whether we, then all the city and county gets some of that money. So it should be coming.
It should come to the BNC motion. BNC road fund should be reflected in that.
But extra.
Yeah.
Extra this time. Yeah.
Well, and don't expect this to be a... It took us 6 months to get an answer out of FEMA and the president after, because we submitted it 6 months ago. And it's taken us 6 months just to get a thumbs up on an answer. So who knows how long. And we just... I put in more reimbursement. Some flooding I think in late 2022 that Lucas told me he just got the check for this week. So you know, if you think county government or city government moves slow, try in the feds. It's glacial. It may be a while before we see the money.
Any other items to discuss or bring up? This time, I guess we can move to adjourn this meeting, January 3rd.
Second.
All right.
Oh, thank you.